Welcome to the OBX Fishcast. We release a new OBX Fishcast each Friday. Our guests today include Captain Marty Brill with the Fishing Report. We'll also hear from Michaela at the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center, giving us an update on what's happening there. And Brenda from Juan Cheese Marina will be talking with us as well. Not to forget Tony Lombardi from WalkingAngler.com, who has some excellent tips now that we've reached the halfway point in the surf fishing summer. Let's start off with Captain Marty's update.
And yesterday we had a report from up at Rudy Inlet. I think it was Jordan Crossway was up there fishing, caught four whites and a blue marlin up there. So, you know, that's the direction our fleet will be headed today. And what I'm hoping is that we'll see some billfish activity. We didn't have much of a fleet out yesterday. A couple boats stuck their nose out there and gave it a little shot, and it was scrappy fishing. Didn't have anybody out of Hatteras. Yesterday, they didn't have the shift to wind until a little bit later in the day, but they did not fish offshore. We did have some fishing inshore, though, which was mostly speckled trout fishing, Spanish mackerel, and a few bluefish around the inlets and back in the sound. And the speckled trout fishing remains very, very good. And finally, along the beaches, yesterday it was a little bit on the choppy side in the morning, but folks that put in the time yesterday found a combination of things. There was a few black drum, small black drum caught yesterday. There was a few puppy drum caught, but mostly it was sea mullet, spots, and croakers. Just what you'd expect. This fishing is very typical for this time of year, even though the weather is nice today and a little bit on the cool side. But go wet a line, you're not going to catch them in the motel room. That's my report for you on this Friday morning.
Marty, I noticed you wished all the anglers in the boat builders tournament good luck, but what about the rest of the people who are going to be out there today?
Jerry, that was an oversight on my part, and that's why I'm really glad that you're there for me in my time of need. I would like to back up and just say good luck to everybody fishing today.
What about everybody not fishing today?
Well, they're on their own.
Thanks, Marty. Now we go to Michaela at the Oregon Inlet Fishing Center to tell us what's been happening over there.
It was pretty good despite the wind. We had a few of our offshore guys stay in, actually a majority of our offshore guys stay in. But the ones who went out got good yellowfin, mahi, and wahi, and a couple flying fish too out there. So nearshore guys are still bringing in Spanish mackerel, bluefish, some good drum. We're having some pretty red drum, and also the ribbon fish still as well. The inshore guys are bringing in good-sized speckled trout, bluefish, and pigfish. Miss Oregon Inlet brought in some sea mullet, spot, flounder, croakers, and pigfish.
How about the Safari Dolphin Tour? What are they up to today?
So she has available trip 7:30, 10 a.m., 12:33, and then sundown cruise at 5:30. So anytime they can call and book and try to get on one.
What time do you expect the boats to return today?
Anytime between 3:30 and 4:30.
What's the website and telephone number if we want to find out a little bit more information?
252-441-6301 or oregon-inlet.com.
We're with Brenda at Juan Cheese Marina. See how that fishing's been. Brenda, do you have the answer?
Oh, I certainly do, Jody. I definitely have the answer on our inshore, guys. The speckled trout have been amazing here.
That sounds like the speckled trout alarm.
One captain yesterday had 92 of them. Today, he had 101, 26 of which were keepers. What? The speckled trout action has been phenomenal out there. The nearshore guys, once again, finding the Spanish mackerel and the bluefish. Offshore guys haven't been out there the last couple days. A little bumpy out there, hoping to get back out there tomorrow. Dolphin boat's been doing its trip. As far as the dolphin boat, it's been beautiful out there. Skies are clear, beautiful sunshine, a little cooler.
Brenda, I mean, talking about beautiful, you got a great view there at Juan Cheese Marina. It's a good place to grab a meal, sit back, relax, and enjoy a cold drink.
Oh, most definitely. Sit back in the steam bar, air conditioned, ice cold drink, coldest beer in town. Beautiful view of the marina, the boats coming in and out. Always something going on here. Don't forget the steam bar with the freshest steam seafood around. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're here from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week.
Jumping back to some fishing, Brenda. Do you have any availabilities coming up for the weekend?
A couple offshore trips available, nearshore. And, of course, I do have, I think, one or two boats left for the inshore to get out there on that speckled trout.
What's the website and telephone number?
You can find us at onecheesemarina.com or you can give us a call at area code 252-423-3157.
This is the OBX Fishcast. We release new episodes each Friday. Got Tony Lombardi with us, walkingangler.com, so we can check out his work. Also, he's a contributor to Captain Marty's extended edition of The Other Side of Fishing each Saturday morning from 6:30 to 8:30 on Beach 104 and 94.5 WCMS. Tony, the season is well underway. People have been catching fish. They're out having fun. But there's another thing people need to do is maintain the gear. It will not take care of itself.
Absolutely, sure. It's it's that time of year where everyone gets complacent. They pick up their gear from their storage shed or the garage, and they head out and they put a new rig on there and some bait and hope to catch that trophy fish. And next thing you know, the fish gets close to the railing and it breaks off. You know, we're halfway through the season. It's a great time to examine some of our gear. You know, now many anglers evaluate their gear annually, but with the time that we spend on the water each day, you know, catching fish, having it exposed to the sun and the salt, it's really a good time to evaluate your gear, but mostly your fishing line. So, you know, what I try to do when I go out is the first thing I do is I look at the line on my reels. Now, I keep four or five reels ready to go, as we've talked in the past. And each one that I use, I deal with, it's kind of a special attention to a particular species. When I look at the reels, though, I look for any frayed or maybe the spool is a little bit low. Now, you ask, why is my spool low? Well, a rule of thumb that I've always followed is before I go out on any trip, I take about 5 yards, maybe 10 yards of line off to prevent any of the chaffing from breaking off my rig, you know, during a fight. And we say, well, where does the chaffing come from? It's from the eyelets, and it can also be from some of the sunlight that'll weaken that line. So I look at that, and I'll pull off a couple of yards just to ensure that I have fresh line each time I cast out. Now, when I decide to change the line, what I'll do is I'll take most of the line off, and I may just leave some backing on there. But other times I may just remove it completely and just replace it. Now, there's a couple of different types of line that I use. Most of the time I'll use mono, monofilament. And other times I'll use braid. And again, it really depends on the type of fish that I'm targeting. Now, I also hear a lot of times that anglers say, well, you know, I've only caught some small fish with this rod, or they've only used it several times a year. But, you know, even though the rod will sit in your garage or maybe in your truck, the sun and the dirt, the usage, and just basically the environment is going to affect that fishing line. So, you know, those are some of the things that I look at, you know, when I want to look at the fishing line and determine if it's going to hold up under, you know, under the conditions that I put it under.
Now, Tony, I mean, is this a situation where you may have had a situation where you had a fish on the line around this time of year after you've been doing a bunch of fishing and it breaks off and you think, now I need to come up with a plan?
Well, it has happened, you know, and even as I, you know, I focus on that each trip, there's always that little, you know, snag, that rock, that piece of, you know, coral that I'll hit, and it chaps the line, and it, you know, it's just the unopportune time that we, you know, we find ourselves at, you know, why didn't I check that line before?
Of course, maybe you have a buddy that it's happened to, and they're telling you about the fish that got away. Do you go, hey, you got to check your stuff halfway through the season?
That's right. Now, there's a lot of questions about, you know, when we're replacing our line, you know, what type of line do we use? Now, again, I mentioned earlier I have several different rods that I use. The monofilament is really the standard, and I like to use that on several of the rods. Now, 15 to 20 pound test is good. You know, everyone has their preference on color, and there's some theory about, well, if I use red, the fish can't see it, or if I use yellow or whatever. But really, really it's not the line from what I've found. It's the leader. And you want to use a good, clear leader. And that's most important with the color. Now, we talk about mono, and then we talk about braid. Now, braid is a good line. I use that also in a lot of my lines when I want to have a very sensitive touch where I can actually feel the bite. And also it has a greater strength from breaking. So if I'm fishing up against rocks or up against the pilings, you know, that's going to hold up a lot better. So, you know, there is some preference about mono or braid. And again, I just think that the angler needs to look at that, their application and decide what's the best line to use.
Talking to Tony Lombardi, walkingangler.com, contributes to the program each Friday. Tony, when you finish up a day of fishing, what do you do to keep your gear in its best shape?
Good question, because a lot of people will take their rods and their reels and they'll lean it up against the garage door and just hose it off. And that is a good idea to do that every trip. It gets that salt water, the dirt, gets the sand off of your line. But the most important thing to do is when you hose your reels off, don't hose them off with the reel sticking upward, because that prevents, when you do it, that prevents the water from getting into that reel. You want to hang it upside down and wash it easily. Then after you wash it, you want to dry it off. You don't want to let any of the sediments from the water to get on your reel and cause it to corrode or rust. The other thing you want to do is you want to make sure that you get all of the sand and salt off the guides of your reel and of your rod, because those can cause some corrosion. And then finally, what I do is there's an anti-corrosion spray that I use, and a secret substance that I've used for years is just furniture polish on the reel and the rod, and I let it sit for a couple of minutes and then wipe it off.
And that's all you do?
That's all I do. And of course, I want to keep it out of the sun. I'll leave it out of my truck or out of the car. I've stored inside the garage or in a cooler spot so that my line that I replaced or that the reel and rod is ready to go is not affected by the environment.
Been talking to Tony Lombardi. Check out his work, walkingangler.com. Tony, thanks for dropping by the OBX Fishcast.
Good. Thanks, Jody. Have a great day.
Thanks for giving the OBX Fishcast a listen. Don't forget to share it with a friend. We always post the OBX Fishcast on the Captain Marty Brill Facebook page. Again, the next OBX Fishcast will be released next Friday. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jody O'Donnell.